Yes, it's another episode of We the People. Not of Sweet Haven, but of Columbia and Greene Counties. But that doesn't mean God doesn't love us. Anyway, excuse me, I'm your host, Tom DiPietro, and in the studio with me today is Diane Argyle, the mayor of Valencia here in Columbia County. What we're going to discuss is the current situation in the town of Nassau and both in Rensselaer and Columbia counties involving the Dewey Lofel, is it pronounced Lofel? Landfill. And it's and the release of toxic toxins both into the groundwater and the current EPA plan and treatment plant for dealing with those toxins. On the phone, are you there?
Yes, hi, this is Dan.
Oh, great. We have Dan Spillman on the phone, who is a Nassau resident. Nassau, by the way, is where the landfill, well, actually, the landfill is a little bit outside of Nassau, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of tucked in between the towns of Skodak and Nassau.
Could you talk right into your phone and really loudly?
Sure. It's a few miles north of the village of Nassau, and it's in between the borders of the towns of Skodak and Nassau.
And you've been involved in this struggle about the landfill as a member of the group Uncaged. Now, what does Uncaged stand for?
Uncaged stands for United Neighbors Against GE and the Dewey Local Landfill. And it was formed around the year 2000 as we were battling with New York State at the time, who was in charge of overseeing the site, which was about a 20 to 30 year process.
Let's step back and explain what happened there. Between 1952, I believe, and 1968, a number of corporations dumped their toxic waste there, correct?
And there was a landowner that utilized his land as a dumping site, and the majority of it, about 80% of it, came from General Electric, mostly from the Pittsfield facility, and the remainder was from what was then known as Schenectady International and Bendix Corp, which obviously Schenectady International was in Schenectady. Bendix was over in Green Island area, Cohoes area, and it was permitted at the time, so there are records of what went into there, which has been very helpful over the years, knowing what was dumped. But it did go on for almost two decades before the state stopped it with a judge's orders in 1970, I believe, or late 60s, they stopped the dumping.
Yeah, I have two different dates, actually, in the news reportage. One says 60, another says 70. I guess the important thing is it was eventually shut down. Now, the subsequent problem was all these toxins were starting to leak into the groundwater, correct?
Yeah, the original court action, which started dealing with the cleanup, throughout the 70s, actually, the gentleman still utilized his site. He started putting, put four large 30,000-gallon tanks on there and still collected before they were able to shut them down completely. But the first action by New York State was a settlement with General Electric that covered seven different facilities in New York State, which is, if you live in any of those communities, you know, it's called the Seven Sites Agreement, where GE got absolved for any of the contamination on the sites themselves legally, so they had to do some capping and some containment work, and from that point on, New York State could not sue them to do any work on these sites.
Now, when you say capping, that means just putting a surface cap on the site?
I'm not sure what happened with the other six sites. Our site was capped. They put a 3-foot-wide clay slurry wall around to attempt to contain it down to the bedrock, and then they put clean fill over it and planted some grass and called it a day. And obviously, the problem started after that when the contaminants started leaking through the bedrock and moving away from the facility.
And how was that discovered?
mostly with well contamination, and after major rain events, there would be situations where animals, farm animals, would start dying in mass in a short amount of time. So there was a lot of issues that took place during the 70s and 80s that led the state to continue the research. And, you know, dozens and dozens of test wells have been drilled since that time at various points. They still really don't know the full extent of the plume. They know where the majority of it is that's moved away from the landfill. But that
so you're saying
they're in the process of determining exactly how far and how wide-ranging the plume is right now.
The plume just means how, what is the plume exactly?
It's a plume with a P.
Oh, plume.
Yeah, it's where they know there is contaminants that have leaked through the bedrock and moved their way through the bedrock away from the landfill.
Now, did that plume eventually manage to get into waterways, or was it just other
there's
than...
There's various things that have happened there. The contamination in Nassau Lake and the Valacia Kill happened with surface body waters because there was a small pond right next to the landfill that became contaminated. That had a little tributary that drained away from this pond into the Valacia Kill, which in turn brought stuff down to the Nassau Lake. So the PCB contamination and other contamination that's happened was a surface water contamination, and then we have this groundwater plume that's moving in a different direction away from the landfill. So there's multiple aspects that have happened at this site.
We have the mayor of Valacia in the studio, and you're welcome to ask any questions, Mayor. In the meantime, even though it's called the Valacia Kill, it's not actually in Valacia, correct? I mean, it begins...
Well, it does go from... it leads into Nassau Lake on the north side and then leaves Nassau Lake and continues down into Columbia County and eventually goes into Kinderhook Lake.
And eventually, does it have a tributary to the Hudson River?
Kinderhook does drain into the Hudson eventually, yes.
So what we're talking about conceivably affects the river proper, and not just a local lake.
Correct.
Okay, so that brings us up to the how the site developed, and why did it take so long to come up with a solution to treating this? Is the word leachate?
Well, the treatment plant that just came online, that is the topic of conversation now, is not the solution to the problem. It was a settlement that EPA has with General Electric. Over the last many years, we've been having truckloads taken to off-site facilities to treat the groundwater.
Right, I understand that.
Groundwater leachate.
It was in Connecticut, right?
They recontract every year. I know at one point they were going to Canada. I think they were in New Jersey at one point. I don't have the full information of where they...
So that water is treated off-site.
So that was tankered away.
Tankered away. Treated?
Roughly two tanker loads every week during the warm weather months over the last decade plus.
So are you familiar with where that water was then treated, or it was treated or not?
Oh yeah, it went to facilities that were set to handle this type of treatment, and they were not. I don't think any of them were in New York State, but I'm just not sure where they. It was a new contract that GE or whoever the parties were would establish with facilities to be able to accept and treat the water, but they weren't being dumped in local waterways now.
So all along, though, the plan was to create a treatment plant at the site or right next to the site. Is that correct? Or when was that decided to build a treatment plant at the site? Hello? Dan?
I'm sorry. There's a combination of things, because the town of Nassau over the years has had issues with the tractor-trailer traffic because this is a one-lane dirt road that leads to this facility. And the tractor-trailers coming over small county roads to get to this one dirt road, which you know, it's not meant really to handle tractor-trailer traffic. So it was kind of an agreement that this would be a temporary fix while the EPA moves through the process of determining what's actually going to happen in the long run.
That was an agreement between the town and the, and who?
No, this is EPA agreement with primarily General Electric.
I see.
Imagine Schenectady International is also involved.
So then
to put this system in so that they do not have to truck away anymore. So the goal is that if this comes online and meets all the standards that they have set in their requirements and the specifications, that they will be treating the water on site and discharging into the Blasio Kill in lieu of trucking it away.
Right. So it went on. It went online last Friday, I believe.
The water treatment plant has gone through trials where they're not discharging directly to the Blasio Kill. They're discharging to tanks, storage tanks. Then they're testing. They did have satisfactory results with the first two tanks, so those were discharged into the Blasio Kill starting last week.
So at this point, then, we have them discharging some of this treated water directly into the Valencia Kill. And what's wrong with that?
From our perspective,
our being Uncaged?
Uncaged and really the coalition with the elected officials in the town.
Are you part of that, Mayor?
Coalition is generally Skodak and Rensselaer County and Nassau town officials, and they have also gotten our state representatives involved in many of the discussions that have been had over the last few months. The concern is maintaining very tight standards, but on the surface, you look at the fact that we didn't have potential for any contamination because it was all being taken off site, and now you're discharging the treated water into a local bodyway. So obviously the concern is if there is, you know, any amount of contamination, no matter how small, you're spreading the problem that right now does not exist. So, you know, that is the main concern. This agreement is in place. So our goal is just to make sure that we monitor very well what the test results are and make sure that there is no elevated levels beyond what the required levels are making their way into the Valencia Kill.
Now, my understanding is at one point the Valencia Kill was contaminated, correct?
The Valencia Kill was and still is. There were three different records of decision that happened from 1980 until about 2002, and each one of them required the principal parties to do cleanups. The initial one in 1981 was the capping of the landfill, and then in 2000 they dealt with some of the contamination right at the site, and then in 2002 there was a third one that there was millions of dollars worth of work to clean up the Valencia Kill and clean up some of the hot spots as the Valencia Kill worked its way down into Nassau Lake. And the state was overseeing this, DEC was overseeing this the entire time.
The DEC being the Department of Environmental
Conservation.
Conservation. Right.
And the reason it finally ended up in the EPA's lap, so to speak, is the testing of sediment, the fish levels, the PCB contamination, never really, you know, they came down a little bit initially when some of the cleanups happened, but they kind of plateaued at levels that are still too high. So, you know, New York State probably put their vote in to have EPA take it over because they could only do so much, and legally they couldn't deal with the site itself anymore because of the legal settlement in 1980. So their hands were tied. So for us, EPA getting involved was a huge step forward because then any legal settlement that General Electric and Schenectady International had with New York State now become void because EPA can make them do something at the site that the state wasn't able to.
So at what point does it become a Superfund site? Is that
it is.
At that point, the moment EPA got involved?
When the EPA, it becomes, it was added to the national priority with, I'm not sure what, I mean, it was probably classified as a state Superfund site prior to that, but, you know, once it made it onto the national priority list, then it's a federal Superfund site.
So our current situation is the EPA has approved this. Now, why, I mean, at one point you were happy that the EPA took over the remediation. Why suddenly are you not trusting what the EPA has said? Which is to say, the EPA has said it's okay to start allowing the processed water to be dumped.
I would say, I mean, the main concern is that it gets monitored very well and that we maintain the standards that were set. What happened between when they started this process in early 2013 that this plant was going to move forward, and later in the year there were some new chemicals that started popping up in the well testing that were never showed up on any lists in prior years, so that became a huge concern. And one is this 1,4-dioxane, which is not something that is, they don't know how to really treat it and deal with it. So
who's, were the EPA, these were EPA well testings?
Yes, EPA is, I mean, the test is done by contractors for the principal parties, so GE hires people to go out and do the testing, but they go to laboratories that are approved by EPA. So generally, once or twice a year, there's major rounds of testing of the fish, of the water, of the soil samples. So I think the last round was probably June of 2013. And they started seeing this 1,4-dioxane showing up in some of the tests.
So a spokesman for the EPA has told the Register Star that all these tests have met the standards of both the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and the EPA. Is that in dispute?
I wouldn't say that's in dispute. No, we're at the process. This is going to be several months before the facility completely comes online. What they're doing right now is they're slowly increasing the flow of leachate through the plant. The first two loads.
And once again, leachate is the liquid
water that's pumped out of the ground near the landfill. So it's the collected water that's worked its way through the landfill and has been contaminated by all the chemicals that are in there. And they have various wells. There's three main wells right now that were put in several years ago, probably 4 to 5 years ago now, to try to collect it. And if you could imagine pulling it back by negative pressure, so they're basically trying to pump in the middle of this plume. They have three wells that will pump the fluid and bring it back to this facility. Now, it had previously gone to the tanks where the trucks had taken it away. But the point is that they're trying to create kind of a pressure situation that will pull the liquid back to the pump well and keep it from going further away, towards residential wells
right.
And downstream. So these wells right now are pumping back to the groundwater treatment plant, the leachate treatment plant, and being processed. So initially we were told the first two tanks were only dealing with about 1 GPM, 1 gallon per minute of flow. The facility, when it becomes fully operable, will operate at about 15 gallons per minute. So they got a ways to go as they stage slowly. Each tank will be a little more leachate being brought in at a time.
And the how many gallons do you think will be involved altogether eventually? I read something like 70,000 gallons or something like that.
The total volumes are in the order of what's been done in the past. They've been trucking away probably between 25 and 40,000 gallons a month.
A month, okay.
The facility is not a high volume. You're not talking about, drinking water where you're pushing thousands of gallons through. This is very low volume.
And that is discharged by a single pipe directly into what?
It is, yes.
Into the kill?
Yes. It's the beginning of the kill. It's about 3 miles from this point to get to the north end of Nassau Lake.
So the objection to them discharging it at this point is that you don't feel the EPA has done a sufficient test of the leachate?
I want to be careful about saying objections. It's just concerns at this point. There's major concerns that the fact that this is being done in lieu of trucking it away was an initial concern, but after the fact that we're going to have this facility and it's going to be operable, now it's just making sure that all the chemicals that are going to be working their way through this plant are able to be dealt with. And at this point, there's just such a cocktail of stuff in there. You know, there may be chemical mixtures that aren't even on this list that are going to work their way through. So it's just more the unknown of what could happen at this point is a major concern.
The majority is PCBs, right?
In the water, it's not going to be the PCBs. Mm-hmm. The PCBs, they bind to sediment and they stay in place. So there's very little chance that PCBs will actually show up. But, the list of chemicals that are being tested for and being detected already in the wells, you'd have to have a chemistry degree to even be able to read the names of some of these. But it's a long list.
And you're saying you're not sure if the plant is prepared to deal with that extensive list of chemicals?
Correct. I mean, I think the verdict is still out on it. Some of the chemicals are known not to really have treatment methods, and they're probably hoping that some of the carbon filters in the bioreactor in there will be able to handle this if these chemicals come through. But some of these chemicals, there's really no track record to be able to deal with it in a known way.
So what is Uncaged looking for at this point?
At this point, they're moving on into the remedial investigation, so there's going to be lots of documents over the next 6 months of the investigation of what the possible options for cleanup. I mean, the town and Uncaged have always pushed for...
You said investigation. Who's conducting the investigation?
It's all overseen by EPA. As I said, I want to be clear, the water treatment plant was just, they called it an emergency action to be able to just deal with the fact that the town and other participants were not happy with the trucking operation, and this is kind of a way to keep everybody happy, I think. But this is not the permanent fix. There's going to be probably over the next 2 to 4 years, there's going to be design work reports that will have to be reviewed, and then ultimately EPA will make a final recommendation on what's going to be done with the site. But for right now, with the water treatment plant, we are just going to have to continue to monitor the test results of the water coming out of the plant itself, and just kind of be vigilant and keeping track of what's going on there.
Part of the problem, as I understand, is that a lot of the communities involved were not notified about any of this. Is that your impression, or do you feel that Uncaged was kind of on top of all this as it progressed?
Well, it moved so quickly. We did get some of the paperwork of the discharge limits that were set right about the time they were set last February. A lot of it might have been our lack of understanding on how quickly things were moving. Some of the documentation I know that the town continues to request does not get there promptly, so I think the major concern is just making sure that we work with EPA and start getting the information in a timely fashion, because there is a lot of stuff going on. EPA deals with community groups and town officials all over the country on these jobs quite regularly. So we're just, the main issue for us was just making sure that we got information in a timely fashion, continue to get information in a timely fashion so we understand what's happening and when it's happening. And that will probably be something that we'll have to continue to work very hard on as we move along. I know the town officials in Nassau have had some serious issues in the same regard of making multiple requests over weeks and months to be able to get documentation they're looking for. So that has certainly been a thorn in the side of the project at this point.
Documentation from EPA, you mean?
Correct.
And I assume what you'd like to see documented is exactly the results of various water testing after it's been treated?
Well, over the life of a project like this, there's, you know, at various phases, there's lots of documentation. I mean, in this situation, just the specification and the design of the plant had about 10 or 12 different appendices. And, you know, we didn't initially ask for them because we didn't think we need them, but the appendices turned out had a lot of information in them that was very helpful for us analyzing what was going on. You know, I don't know exactly when we requested it. We finally got them in October, and that's when we started really looking at the plan a little more heavily and became a little more critical of what was going on. So part of the delay was our own fault. You know, as you would know with any community group, you never have enough volunteer hours to do anything that you really want to get done quickly. So, but it wasn't easy to make sure we got all the documents either.
So, the community, your community, wasn't very happy with the whole tanker solution either, I take it.
Well, there was a lot of issues, and this was more the town was adamant about this, because there were real safety issues, because the tanker trucks would be driving at excessive speeds down small little roads, just the destruction that they had on this basically one-and-a-half-lane dirt road that goes to the dump itself. You know, the town had financial obligations because they had to maintain this thing, and they weren't getting compensated for all the repairs. So there were safety issues with these tankers being on roads that they really weren't able to handle, and the town financially having to deal with making repairs constantly. So that was a major concern for the town all along over the last many years of how we should deal with this. And
I'm guessing that you... Between the tanker option versus the treatment plant, you'd like to see the treatment plant functioning properly, or, I mean...
I would have to say at this point that is probably the better option if we can make sure that it safely operates. You know, the EPA did a nice job, and the town and the coalition of groups like ourselves got together when we first met with them in probably summer of 2012 and had a list of things that we wanted to see happen over the course of this project. And one of them was that if they did build this plant, it happened off the site. Our concern was that if they built a multi-million-dollar facility on the middle of the landfill, which is what they really wanted originally, that now they would have more justification not to excavate the site and completely clean it up because they had this facility sitting in the middle of it. So EPA did listen to us, and the water treatment plant, the leachate treatment plant, is off to the side of the landfill itself. So there have been, you know, major strides forward. The EPA has listened to us and done what we would like to see. And yes, I mean, operationally, from the town's point of view, I guess you might have to ask the town supervisor at this point, because he might, you know, be hesitant. It might be kind of up in the air, which is the better option at this point, and I'm not going to answer for him.
Right. But there is that third option of excavating the site, right? Or
well, what this whole, anytime you get into one of these projects, they have several years of evaluation and investigation, and then there will be various reports that come out. Anytime, you know, whether it's New York State DEC or the EPA will do this, this report might have 8 or 10 different options. You know, obviously we'll tell what the option is, approximate price tag to go with each option. And then, you know, with public comment and anybody that wants the input, they have to make a decision ultimately. And one of them will be to clean up everything, which would include dredging Nassau Lake, would include excavating the dump itself and everything in between. But whether it gets to that point, only time will tell as we move along.
Is the resistance to that financial? I mean, is it much more expensive operation to do that?
Oh, that would certainly be the most expensive option that would happen, yes. And, you know, initially they were indicating that just, and this was when DEC was still involved, probably in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was estimated. I think even with their record of decision had that as one of the options was to, might have been just dredging Nassau Lake, and it was on the order of $500 million back then.
Listeners, we've been talking with Dan Spillman, who is a Nassau resident and a board member of UNCAGE. UNCAGE stands for United Citizens Concerned About the G.E. Dewey Lofa Landfill. Thank you, Dan. You've gotten us... before you go, though, Mayor Argyle, I would like to ask you a couple questions.
Sure. Mr. Spillman, what testing has been done in Nassau Lake? Is it just PCBs polluting Nassau Lake, or is it all chemicals polluting Nassau Lake at this time?
No, it wouldn't just be PCBs. PCBs are the ones that accumulate in the fatty tissue of the fish, so that's the ones that they're able to test for. A lot of the stuff will come and go quickly, either evaporation or just flowing with the water. So the PCBs is what they've been concentrating on in these, in Nassau Lake specifically over time, because it's easier to measure and it bioaccumulates in the fish and the other organisms that are in the lake. So that's been the focus there. But I'd have to look at some of the testing to see. I mean, most of the other contaminants are in wells closer to the site and aren't really showing up in the body water of Nassau Lake.
So they're not showing up in the Malaysia Kill either, is what you're saying, correct?
Well, it's much more temporary. Again, it depends on the chemicals, whether it settles into the sediment like something like PCBs were, or whether it flows in a liquid state and stays that way and moves its way down. New York State has been monitoring Kinderhook Lake because that has had fish advisories for a number of years as well. New York State DEC website should have all the testing results, and they test, they'd be testing the water in Kinderhook Lake, and they'd be testing the sediment in Kinderhook Lake as well as the fish bodies. So you could see results in their testing. I think that's still an annual testing that they'd be doing down there.
Well, are they testing for all the chemicals that you people now begin to find?
I'm not sure. I don't think I've seen... I know in Nassau Lake they are, but I'm not sure with Kinderhook because I've never really made a copy or looked at a report on Kinderhook Lake.
Okay, so I need to approach DEC or somebody in EPA to come down to Kinderhook Lake and test all the water there to make sure that those toxins...
Well, as I said, I think it is ongoing because they have had fish advisories for a number of years, so it's just a matter of accessing at the DEC website or at DEC itself to see what kind of testing they're doing and seeing what kind of numbers are showing up with various chemicals in the body of water down there. But it's already there. It's just a matter of accessing it for yourself.
Okay. Are they planning on taking the soil and out of there that's contaminated by the landfill? Because, you're talking about draining the liquid out of there and treating the liquid, but what about the soil?
Well, that's the long-standing problem, that if you don't deal with the entire mass of contamination, then it's just going to continue. So that's part of the EPA project, is going to be evaluate what actually gets done ultimately. And, as I indicated, that certainly our group and coalition is for a complete remediation of the entire landfill, which means that you would excavate it and be dealt with in some fashion or another. But right now, no, nothing is being done with the soil anywhere.
This site has been compared often to Love Canal. Is it really that extreme?
The volume of contaminants is actually double of what Love Canal was.
Wow.
It's just that in Nassau Lake, I'm not sure the quantity, but it's a few hundred people living around it, where in Niagara Falls you had a small-scale city, so you would think tens of thousands of people. But the actual contamination volume is in the order of double of what Love Canal was.
Have there been serious issues with residents around that landfill medically-wise due to this problem?
Well, initially the two founders of our organization were Nassau residents, one that lived right on the north end of the lake, another one that grew up there and had moved away to the town of Skodak since then. But they did their own little health evaluation. The town of Nassau had established kind of a health advisory board, and they volunteered and started knocking door to door and getting information. Now, there's a nice little handmade map in the Nassau Village Library that showed their work. This was in the late 90s, I think maybe 98 or 99 that they had done this. There's been no formal health study done. I think in New York State, at one point, Department of Health in New York State had evaluated the entire zip code for Nassau and said there was nothing alarming there, but, you know, mainly it was kind of diluted by the entire population of the entire town as opposed to focusing on the people that live close enough to breathe the dust that would be coming off the sediment. But there was a lot of stories, a lot of it made it into the press. I mean, I just looked at an article from 1981 in the Times Union talking about a husband and wife that died within a short amount of time of each other with the same type of strange cancer, and, you know, the evaluations of whether it was really because of the PCBs or not. A lot of people have stories about their animals dying, you know, dogs that work their way into the muck along the edge of the lake getting strange cancers, but there hasn't been a formal study, and that's one of the things that recently the town, mainly the town and some of the government officials have been calling to try to get a full health study done.
Dan, I want to thank you for coming on the air with us. I have to cut you off a little bit because we have another caller coming in from Riverkeeper. But I want you to know.
I appreciate your time, and hopefully as it moves along, we can.
I was just going to say that was Mayor Diane Argyle asking those questions, and I hope you'll keep her in the loop of what your group's up to, because being the mayor of Valencia, she's very concerned with how it affects her community.
And I want to thank you.
I'll have the officials from the town of Nassau contact you so that you can be on the email loop as we move forward.
Yeah, I have been talking to Dave Fleming. He's been very helpful. And I want to thank you people for doing what you have been doing.
Thank you, Dan. Once again, that was
thank
Dan.
You very much for your time.
You're welcome. That was Dan. Oop. That was Dan Spillman of the group Uncaged. He's a Nassau resident. And has been concerned with. Oop, hold on one second here. Let me just get my. He's been involved with the Dewey Luffel landfill as a resident there. Now, Mayor, when did you become aware of the that the treatment plant was going to start pumping water into the Valencia Kill, which of course comes into your town?
We were notified by Barbara Reiner from the Register Star. She called me one evening.
And that was only like last week, right?
Yes, last week. The EPA never notified the Columbia County, the town of Canoka, Village of Valencia, or any residents in Columbia County of what was going on until it was released by the Register Star. Then, after we were told by the Register Star, we got an email from EPA advising us that they're bringing the plant online at 11 o'clock Friday morning. And that was, we were notified Thursday evening at 4:15 by email. And that time, you know, it's too late.
Right.
It's a done deal.
Do you know if the EPA has any obligation to notify all affected communities about something like that?
I believe they have an obligation to tell people all the way to the Hudson River, because this is going to the Hudson River. And you don't know what's going to be there in the water, or even if it settles into any place around on the Valencia Kill, the Kendall Creek, to Starkport Creek, to Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
It goes all the way down.
Oh, excuse me one second. We have to set up for this other call. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You're right, and it goes all the way to the Hudson River, which is why our next guest calling in any minute is a member of the Riverkeepers organization, who obviously are concerned about the end journey of these of this water, which will be into the Hudson River.
My belief, what I've been told, is that this is not 100% clean. The water being released in the Venetia Kill has not gotten rid of all the toxins or all the chemicals in that. It, what they consider as a acceptable level being released into the environment. And I don't know what the acceptable level is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess there are standards that the EPA establishes.
Yes.
And I imagine you can discover those somehow, but it's very complex. You know, I saw a chart of some of the testing results, and it's very hard for someone who's not a chemist or a biochemist to figure out what exactly is going on.
Exactly.
Now, the Venetia Kill has been contaminated previously, correct?
I believe the Venetia Kill was contaminated in the Kinhook Lake. I believe there's an advisory not to eat too many fish out of Kinhook Creek, mm-hmm. Kinhook Creek and Kinhook Lake. And how long that's been in effect ever since the landfill has been put there. And I think I believe it's the obligation of that company and companies and EPA in New York State to clean up this mess.
And how would you like to see it cleaned up? I mean, we have the three options. Obviously, the tractor option doesn't affect your town very much, but the other two do.
Well, they all affect us because if you use the tractor option, you're still leaching out.
Right.
I mean, we got to stop the leaching out, and then you have to actually treat all the chemicals in there, and they need to find what chemicals are in there, and they should open up their testing and to test for every chemical they can in that to protect everybody below that whole, all the way down from Nassau all the way down to the Hudson River,
mm-hmm.
including the Hudson River. And eventually it goes into the ocean.
Right. Do you, I think that might be our river keeper. Let me just put on a little music while we set this up. Go back to our. Philip, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, great. We have. Could you pronounce your last name for us, please?
Sure. It's Musikas.
Musikas.
Uh-huh.
Okay. We have Philip Musikas, who's a lawyer for Riverkeeper. And Riverkeeper, as most of our listeners probably know, has long led the battle to restore, I guess we'd say, the Hudson River, the Hudson River to its... not pristine, of course, but to a livable level of what?
well, our goal, in really simple terms, is to protect and restore the river, and we want the Hudson River to be clean enough so that people can go and swim in it if they like at any time and be safe swimming in it, and also
eat the
that
fish?
They can catch fish from it, absolutely.
And eat
it. Yeah,
so
fishable, swimmable is kind of the goal from the Clean Water Act that we've adopted, and that's our ultimate goal.
By the way, I'm joined in the studio here by Diane Argyle, who is the mayor of Valencia.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let
Hi,
you
Diane.
Know.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
And where are you based, Phil?
Riverkeeper is based in Ossining, so we're in the Mid Hudson and Westchester, kind of northern Westchester County.
So, how were you alerted to this current crisis?
Well, Riverkeeper was contacted by several different people in the Valencia community and in Columbia County over the past 1 to 2 weeks that kind of told us that these discharges were happening and were beginning and that clearly had a number of concerns about what was being discharged into the kill and from my perception, and we're still getting up to speed on all the background on the site and things like that, but essentially that they had perhaps incomplete information from EPA and that their again, from our perspective, seems to be a lot of concern and apprehension about what's happening from EPA. So our response was we contacted EPA. I think we followed up with some of the folks that contacted us in the community, and we also contacted EPA. I did myself, and I've had a couple of conversations with EPA staff about the site. That's where we are. I can talk about what I've learned from EPA so far.
Let me ask you one question that the mayor had previous that I had for the mayor. Since you're more familiar with the workings of EPA, do they have any obligation to notify all the towns and communities affected by an operation like this?
Well, I certainly think in a very general sense they certainly have an obligation to inform the public,
I guess,
you know, whoever is affected by this.
I think that's the moral obligation. How about a legal one?
that's a tough question, and I don't think there's, you know, literally a legal requirement that they have to, you know, what they have to do when they have a Superfund site is to have a whole public participation process and to do public outreach about the planning for the cleanup of the site and the progress in the cleanup. So I think, in my understanding, again, and from speaking to EPA a little bit and from hearing from the people in the Valencia community, I think what's happened essentially is that it seems as if EPA has focused its public outreach efforts in Rensselaer County. And
right,
forgive me if I get the county lines wrong, but
Rensselaer. It's town of Nassau in Rensselaer.
Yeah, and in the community of Nassau, and kind of because that's where the Superfund site is located, my impression is that they focused their attention in that community and perhaps did not think or did not look ahead to think about communities downstream that might be affected or might have concerns or just might be interested in understanding what, you know, at a basic level of what's being discharged upstream. And so I think my sense from speaking to EPA staff is that they understand that you know, they misjudged that. And I, from all impressions I've had, and I spoke to them staff yesterday and also last week, that they are committed to doing additional outreach. And we've called on them to do public meetings in Valencia to explain this whole process and to really get good information to people as soon as possible. And so I think that, you know, that may not solve all the problems or address everyone's concerns, but that seems like a good first step here in terms of, you know, better informing the folks that are downstream of the actual site what's actually going on.
So eventually downstream it empties into the Hudson River, which is your purview. And what's your feeling about the whole process of the treatment plan? I mean, have you looked at the analysis of the testings?
I have. I've done. I've looked at the analysis, and I've spoken to the project manager for the site from EPA. You know, my sense is that from a very general perspective, this is typically how EPA deals with contaminated groundwater. If they have a site where they have enough space to actually treat the water on site, they will do that. And again, I'm happy to be corrected if I have the facts wrong. This is all based on my review over the past week or so.
No.
But certainly, it sounds like they communicate to the community about building the treatment facility and they're doing the sampling of these storage tanks before they, you know, operate the treatment plant and discharge directly into the kill. I looked at the sampling results from the storage tanks, and essentially it looks like the discharges are, you know, the levels of some of the contaminants are either below detectable limits or way below what EPA and I think what the state DEC would find of concern. So the presence of some chemicals in the water are at such low levels that they are essentially permitted to be discharged. And so my initial impression is that because they're at such low levels, they are probably not presenting a concern to the stream.
The mayor's concern. The mayor's concern was the actual what chemicals were actually in the water, in the leachate, and were they all being covered by the tests? Am I correct, Mayor?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it possible that certain types of chemicals would not be detected?
It's certainly possible, but I don't know for this site. I mean, generally what happens, and again, I think defer to the mayor. From my understanding, this site had a long history with the state DEC trying to clean it mm-hmm. up, and then at some point over the last two to three years, I believe, it went on the national priorities list and became a federal Superfund site. So,
and that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's...
We generally think that's a good thing. I mean, I think when you have a site like this, or we certainly have familiarity with the overall General Electric PCB cleanup mm-hmm. on the main Hudson. We have Superfund sites in New York City. It's generally a benefit because EPA has usually more resources and more expertise that they can bring to these sites, and they have very broad authority to get the sites cleaned up. So,
do they also have tougher standards?
Sometimes it depends very much on the particular types of contamination. They will usually work with the state to set standards for discharge limits or for cleanups, but they have fairly high standards in terms of how thoroughly they need that sites need to be cleaned up that are on the Superfund list. So just going back to your question, I think, and again, I don't know for this site in particular, but generally when they, I would imagine that DEC did, based on what kinds of industrial operations or dumping of material was on the site, they would develop a sampling plan to try and capture every type of contamination that would have been, that would be present. That doesn't always mean they capture everything. And I think there's a concern about this chemical called 1,4-dioxane. I'm not sure if I'm getting the mm-hmm. name right. And that seems to be a new or a particular chemical or a pollutant that EPA and the DEC don't have specific standards for. So they're doing, it looks like they're doing additional sampling for that. I think there's been concern about that. I'm not sure perhaps the mayor could mention that, but I know that's a concern because it's there's not a set standard on the books for that. So from what I learned from EPA, it sounds like they're going to do additional sampling of that to make sure it's not in the certainly not in the discharge. And EPA told me that they did not detect that chemical in the water that they were discharging from the tanks. So to some extent, hopefully that's being treated by the treatment facility. But I think that seems to be one chemical that's being watched more closely, perhaps, than others. And certainly, I think there's concerns about mercury in the water. There are concerns that we receive from members about the fish advisories that are in place for the Valacia kill. I believe on those and on the fish advisories, my understanding is those were in place probably before these water discharges and are kind of a certainly a terrible situation, but that's kind of a separate issue that goes back to the original contamination from the Dewey site itself. So that's in the same way we have all the fish advisories on the Hudson about the eating fish that are contaminated with PCBs. It seems like you have the same problem here. So
you've dealt with a situation like this before at River Keepers.
We have. I mean, we have a long history of experience with the big General Electric PCB cleanup on the Upper Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
That of course resulted in, after a very long time, in General Electric actually doing what we call removal. So they're actually dredging out the contaminated sediment from the river that contains the PCBs and disposing of that. And so that and then putting in clean sediment. So that the goal there is to restore the river and restore the sediments to a cleaner state. And so you can get these PCBs out of the food chain. And certainly, if there are PCBs in the Valacia kill, I would think that would be EPA's goal there as well.
To dredge.
Well, I don't know if it would. Again, I don't want to presume.
Right.
I think they're early
right.
in the planning process. I don't know enough about the site to say they should dredge, they should cap. What the solution is, but I would be very sure that EPA is looking at that as part of the cleanup, and I certainly would encourage members of the community, both in Nassau and in Valacia, in the area that's affected by this, to ask for more information from EPA, to certainly make that part of the discussion. And one thing about EPA and Superfund sites, which I think has unfortunately has, you know, maybe gotten off on a with a tough start in this situation. But it is very valuable for the public to be involved and to ask a lot of questions and to really get into the process. So, and it's certainly not too late with this cleanup process at all. So, you know, I would encourage folks to talk to EPA and say, you know, and find out what the best way to do that is. Some of the sites we have downriver, we have set up what are called community advisory groups. They call them CAGs. That's the short term for it. That's basically a public advisory committee made up of local citizens and organizations and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
That basically is set up and established and is in place throughout the entire cleanup planning and remediation process. So from the time they put the shortly after a site goes on the Superfund list until it's completely cleaned up, there's a kind of a formal public committee that's involved and that gets information, shares it with the public, comments on the cleanup plan, things like that. So I don't know if that's been considered for this site or
mm-hmm.
I apologize. I have some information I don't have fully, but
I
think that might be something to consider.
I hate to cut you off this moment, but
sure.
we have less than a minute.
That's
all right. We've been talking to Philip Musagas, a lawyer. Did I pronounce it right?
Yes.
at Riverkeeper. And I've also have Mayor Diane Argyle here, the mayor of Valencia, in the studio. Diane, you can shoot off one quick question if you have it for Philip.
We've just found out today from Mr. Spillman from UNCAGE, which is the community group up there in Nassau that has been monitoring the EPA and the DEC on this landfill. He said they just discovered some new chemicals at some of the test set well sites around the dump landfill. Those are the ones I'm concerned about not being tested for by the release into the Valencia kill.
Philip, instead of answering that, we might have you back for a second.
Certainly. And I'll... Mayor, I'll try, if you, I'll find out your contact information. I'd be happy to follow up with you about that.
Thank you very much, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. And this has been We the People, and I'm Tom DiPietro, and we'll see you in 2 weeks. Oh, actually, next week.